In Christ Jesus, dear friends, especially Master Pilgrims, Holy Cross must be very close to your heart. It was here that you were made a child of God in holy baptism. It was before this very same altar that you renewed your allegiance to your Savior on the day of your confirmation and received your first communion. It was from in this church that you were comforted when you laid to rest your sainted father 6½ years ago. And therefore it is altogether fitting and proper that Holy Cross, with its joyous and sacred and solemn memories, is the place in which the induction into the office of the Presidency of Concordia Seminary is to be sanctified with prayer and with the Word of God. The Word of God, which I have just read, tells us to remember our leaders. For that is what these words mean: remember them which have the rule over you. Remember your leaders. And the man whom I would recall to memory today, this afternoon, is the man who was the first president of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and whose birthday we are observing today. I am referring to Dr. C.F. W. Walter, who was born October the 25th, 1811, and who was president of Concordia Seminary from 1850 to 1887. And using now the work and the life of Dr. Walter as a commentary on our text, let me speak briefly to you on effective leadership in the church. Dr. Walter was recognized and is still recognized as a leader of the church. At the time of his death, he was universally acclaimed as a man of first rank. Dr. Walter was great as an organizer. The Constitution, which he and his members formulated for Trinity Church in 1843, laid the foundation for church government in all congregations of the Missouri Synod. The Constitution of the Missouri Synod, whose basic articles Walter supplied, was something unique in the history of the Lutheran Church in America. One need study only the first 13 years of the history of our Synod to be persuaded that under God, it was the organizing and the directing genius of Walter that caused this new body to spread and to grow in such a wonderful manner. Walter was great as a writer. His Literaner of 1844 did much toward establishing confessional Lutheranism in America. His appeal, his call for free conferences in 1856 is one of the bright spots in the history of Lutheranism of the 19th century. It was Walter who initiated the project of publishing an American edition of the writings of Dr. Luther, a project which has been called the greatest literary monument of the Lutheran Church in America, and a project which has linked the name of St. Louis with a few other cities in the world from which major editions of Luther's writings have been published. But my friends, Walter was greatest as a theologian. And it was as a theologian that he proved to be an effective leader of the church. And his theology was effective because it was taken from the scripture. In the words of our text, he spoke the word of God. Over against the criticism, the doubts, and the denials of his day, Walter held that true theology is only true theology when it teaches the Bible and does not attempt to construct the Bible. That only he is a true theologian who proclaims the entire counsel of God, and that he who adds thereto or subtracts therefrom is endeavoring to preach another gospel, which is not another. Walter spoke the word of God, and through his speaking, Walter was instrumental in leading many men to an appreciation of the Holy Scriptures as the inerrant and infallible Word of God. Walter taught the sola scriptura. As a true and faithful Lutheran theologian, Walter underscored the doctrine of the justification of the sinner by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Free grace, that was a constant slogan of Walter. It is called free because in its effectual working, it is in no way qualified by anything that is not of God. It is called free grace because it is universal and impartial. And this free grace of God, my friends, is both inclusive and exclusive. It is inclusive in as much as it embraces everything that was required and still is required for the salvation of man. And it is exclusive inasmuch as it excludes any merit on the part of the sinner in the process of his salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ, which grasps the salvation already established by Christ and declared by God in heaven. This faith, my friends, in its beginning, in its nurture, and in its consummation in glory, is always and ever and only a matter of free grace. The whole process of salvation is free grace from everlasting to everlasting. By emphasizing the sola scriptura, the sola gratia, and the sola fide, Walter proved to be a quickener of the confessional Lutheran conscience and was able to overcome much doctrinal confusion and indifferentism prevalent in his day. Walter had a passion for confessional Lutheranism, because he knew that confessional Lutheranism was nothing else than speaking the Word of God in its entirety. And because Walter spoke the Word of God in its entirety, Walter could not be an isolationist nor a separatist. Wherever Dr. Walter observed the stirring of confessional Lutheranism, he was quick to recognize it, to nourish it, and ready to support it. But in his zeal for confessional Lutheranism, Walter was not a unionist. Church union and unity in the faith were for Walter two different concepts. On scriptural grounds, Walter declined church union without unity in the spirit. But he was not very much agitated over the absence of organic union with bodies with whom he knew himself one in heart and soul, in doctrine and in practice. And when speaking now this word of God, Walter spoke out of a thoroughly evangelical heart. Walter was permeated by the gospel. He himself had experienced the grace of God in his life. And therefore he understood the weakness of his brethren, had patience with their shortcomings and with their foibles. There was no harshness in Walter's approach to people who were not in doctrinal agreement with him, for he spoke the truth in love. Confessional Lutheranism was a program of Dr. Walter as president of Concordia Seminary. And it was his privilege to train an entire generation of clergymen who espoused his doctrine, who spoke the word as he had spoken it, and who carried confessional Lutheranism to all parts of our continent. And that, my dear brother, is also your program as president of Concordia Seminary. My friend, we have a most blessed heritage from the past, but we cannot possess this heritage by mere possession. We must labor and work in order to make this heritage our own. And we can make it our own, we shall make it our own, if by the power of the Holy Spirit we accept the truth of the Scripture, speak it as Walter did, and thus be followers of Dr. Walter, who spoke the truth. And so, my young friend, if you would be an effective leader in the church, then you will follow Walter, not because he was Walter, but because Walter spoke the truth. And now, why does that make you an effective leader in the church? We have the answer in the text: Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ speaks in his word. He is the word. And just as Jesus Christ is unchanging, so his word also remains unchanging. Walter knew that. Walter knew that the word through which the apostles operated and the word which restored the church in the days of Luther, but that word was immortal and indestructible. And that is why he spoke that word. In the days of our Savior's sojourn on earth, the words which he spoke were spirit and they were life. And friends, they remain spirit and life in Luther's day and also in Walter's day. And to this present day, they are spirit and they are life. Man has changed very much externally since the days of Jesus. But essentially, man is the same. He is shapen in iniquity, and his mother does conceive him in sin. And all his personal righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The only power that can regenerate man, that can save man, is this unchanging Word of God. The gospel is the power of salvation unto everyone that believeth. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Through his word, our Savior continues his work. And also the work of the Savior Jesus Christ is unchanging. Christ came to earth to establish here on earth a system of salvation. He fulfilled the law, he suffered, died, and rose again in order to be the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And when he was about to ascend to his Father in heaven, he commissioned his church to carry on now this work of salvation which he had begun. And so the church proclaims this glorious word of God, the redemption of a sinner through Christ Jesus. But again, it is Jesus Christ who is working through his church, who is working through his word. And therefore, Jesus Christ must ever be successful, and the work of the church can never fail. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. Because the word of God is unchanging, endures forever. Because the work of Jesus Christ through his church will continue to the end of time. Therefore, Walter spoke the word. Therefore, he had the assurance that his purpose would not fail. That gave substance to his leadership. Walter is dead, but the head of the church ever liveth. As Jesus Christ the head bestows upon every generation gifts from on high to carry on his work. And now you, my young brother, you have been called to carry on this work. You are undertaking your duties at a time when the church is facing tremendous opportunities. It is opening many doors through which his word can enter. Sometimes it seems that we are surrounded by an atmosphere of pessimism that beclouds our vision and paralyzes our efforts. Friends, let's always remember that Jesus Christ has not abdicated as the head of the church. Even today, the Savior is standing in the midst of the golden candlesticks, watching that their light goes not out. The gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. He shall never fail and never be discouraged. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. This truth, my dear Dr. Fearbringer, ought to give you strength to rise to the demands of your office and cheerfully to grasp the opportunities which are yours. And be like Walter, in the knowledge of the power of the word, an effective leader of your church. And so may God be with you and bless you richly in your work. May God be with Concordia Seminary of St. Louis. And may he use this institution to keep his word pure and true for the generations to come. When Dr. Walter was on his deathbed, one of his last prayers was, Gott erhalte unsere Synode ein frommes Ministerium. May it please God, Dr. Fearbringer, and members of the St. Louis faculty, to use you as an agency, as an instrument, to have Dr. Walter's prayer realized. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.